about it. So thank you for doing that research and presenting yourself so well. And we are laughing. You guys did this all yourselves this year. It was completely a student-driven project, and you did so well. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn.
That's it. Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda this evening is the presentation of the Geneva Chamber of Commerce 60 Men Who Cook fundraiser, which is on May 8th at the King County Fairgrounds. And by the way, the students that want to leave are more than welcome to leave. But if you want to stay, you're more than welcome. Scott, care to join us? With us tonight is Scott Lieben, who is going to speak on behalf of the 60 Men Who Cook.
All 60 of them. Just to give you a little background about this great project, as you know, in our community, we have many, many workers. And when I say our community, I'm talking about the Fox Valley, because as members of the Rotary Club and the Lions Club and the History Center, we have people from Batavia and St. Charles and Geneva. But there are many things that need to be done for the citizens of our communities that are funded by efforts of a lot of different people. And we thought it would be a great time when things are rough to bring organizations together and let's work together instead of separately to try and have a fun night, first of all, where everybody can come and do some good for the community and really focus on the kinds of things that we're all about in Geneva, that no matter how hard things may seem to be at times, there are many good things that come out of hard times, too. So we have put together, the Chamber has sponsored this event to help Rotary Club and Lions Club and the Geneva History Center raise the funds they need for many of the projects they do. As an example of a few of the things, the Lions Club provides about $12,000 a year to residents of the Geneva and Fox Valley for just eyeglasses that they can't afford, for children in the schools, $200 for the exam, and to provide the eyeglasses, in addition to scholarships for students going on to school. The Rotary Club does the same in sponsoring scholarships for students and helping the community with projects at Lazarus House and other events that need funding, that they often don't have enough money to do that. And of course, the History Center providing for all those great things they do for the young people in the community and really starting to become a central, not just a Geneva History Center, but really a history center that's much larger in focus in terms of representing the whole valley, in terms of having a spot to go that's really top quality and top of class. So they're great groups to get together. And behind those 60 people, there are many people to clean up after them and to help them get this done. So we have really a large contingency of people from our community, a number of aldermen. We have to thank Alderman Don Vogelsberg, and we have two chefs over here, Alderman Hill and Piper, who are going to cook for us. And so I think we're going to just have a fun evening. In addition to that, the school system has helped, and the students. We, as Lions, set up Leo's at the junior high. About 3 years ago, we now have a Leo's Club at the high school. They're going to help in volunteering work to do things that have to be done out there. They're learning at an early age how important it is to give back to the community, that we don't always do things based on what we're going to get out of it, but what we give others sometimes is as valuable as what we're going to take away from it, and it gives us a great sense of value. So we have them. We have the cooking class at the high school is cooking. They are one of the chefs, and they have a student representing them, but they're going to help him in preparing one of the entrees. So we have a series of entrees from filet mignon to desserts to side dishes to salads, and I think it will be a great evening to just have everybody get together and really do some good for the community and get out and see each other and just say we can go and have fun at a reasonable cost in the community. So in our way of giving to you without anything in return, we have prepared some samples here from our various chefs. Chef Oberg, representing the History Center, has some tastings for you. And Chef Warwick from the Lions Club has some tastings, and I've prepared some things for you, so we'll just come around and serve them to you. And I think in case of emergency, I think you also brought with you a bottle of Tums, but I guarantee you, you will not need that night. We have a number of chefs from Geneva restaurants that are also cooking that evening, so I think it will be a great event, and I'd like to ask all of you to come and join us for that. I think the money comes back to the community and funds a lot of things that we know as citizens we couldn't fund otherwise, and we really need that help in our community.
I just wanted to add that although my husband is not an alderman, he is the wife of an alderman. Spouse of an alderman, and he's also.
And he was one of our very first volunteers.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Saying that. I didn't mean that. I didn't smile.
We know what you meant.
Thank you.
Scott, can you tell us how much is it going to cost to participate?
The tickets are $25 a person, so we particularly priced the tickets so that people could come and have fun, and in this time when it's rough to go out for an evening, they would have a great sampling of the cuisine and the fun in the area. So it's $25 a ticket.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. And it is at the King County Fairground, and it starts at 6 o'clock sharp on Friday, May 8th. It's a great place to take your mothers, 60 men cooking for their mothers on Mother's Day weekend. We hope this will be a growing annual event for us, and we appreciate all of your support for everything you do for the organizations in town, too.
Thanks again, Scott. If I could just call on Alderman Flanagan, Hill, and Piper. Mrs. Flanagan?
I'm sorry?
What will the first lady be making, or the first husband?
My husband will be making a roasted pork garlic sandwich. It's like the bun, and it's garlic buttered, and then it'll have a cold roasted pork.
Nice. Very good.
Very tasty.
Alderman Hill, as you're parading around in your top hat,
I will be making a three bean gazpacho salad.
Wow, nice.
Come and try it out. It's delicious.
Sure, it'll be a gas. Alderman Piper.
Should I just get it?
Mussels marinara. That's quite appropriate for you. All right.
I don't need a bowl.
Next, excuse me, Mr. Warlick.
Thank you.
As he's passing around his chili.
Yeah. Oh, it looks good.
Next item on to this evening's agenda.
Wow, it smells
is letter C. It's a consider a draft ordinance allowing a special use permit in the B3 business district to allow for a restaurant on the first floor at 317 South 3rd Street. The restaurant will be known as Fiona. And Mr. Runch, would you like to join us this evening?
Very good. Thank you.
We will need a motion.
Yeah. What is that?
Motion
second.
By Piper.
Just
second.
Wants to stay down.
Second by Maladra, who has yet to have his mouth full.
What's that? Oh, really?
Thank you, Mr. Runch.
Oh, it smells good.
Gentlemen, do we have any questions for Mr. Runch, or do you want him just to provide a brief overview? How about a brief overview, Dick?
Sure, brief overview. This is a request for a special use in the B3 district. The property is located at 317 South 3rd Street. And there really isn't a material change to the property and premises. This is primarily a use issue. Restaurants are a required special use in the B3 district. There are some landscape enhancements that are incorporated into the project that were shown in your packet. A couple of minor modifications around the periphery of the building, but essentially the building will be kept intact as is. And the restaurant would be operating on the first floor of this building, the entire first floor, and offices would be retained in the second level. I believe Chris Lannard is here in case you have any specific questions, I guess that I can't answer, but the Plan Commission heard this request and unanimously recommended approval of the project to the City Council.
Thank you, Mr. Runch. I just want to apologize. I misspoke when I said Fiona. It should be Fiora.
Fiora. Okay.
We have a couple of questions from the Alderman Brown.
Thank you. Mr. Pollack.
Could you explain to us why the city forefathers before us decided that restaurants would be a special use in the B3 district?
Thank you.
Do you remember why that was?
I suspect that back in the day, that would have been 1995, when our zoning ordinance was adopted that we currently utilize. And I suspect that, again, at that time, we had two different sets of parking standards that applied to businesses. A 3.3 per 1,000 square foot standard for general retail businesses, most retail shops and related establishments. And then we had five spaces per 1,000 for restaurants in the downtown area. I suspect that there may have been an interest on the part of the council back then to look closely at parking. Also, restaurants are often set forth as special uses, not only in Geneva zoning ordinance, but in other zoning ordinances, because of some of the effects of restaurant use. Sometimes noise is a factor in restaurants. Sometimes smells are a factor in restaurants, where you might want to take a look at a proposed restaurant operation in some detail, which is allowed by the special use process, to make sure that compatibility is achieved with surrounding businesses and residents.
I presume that those issues are not an issue in this particular location. I certainly know this location. The question of parking is not a problem in the evening. We like to double use all our parking, and it gets well used by restaurants in the evening.
Right.
What about lunches? Is that going to be a parking problem?
Well, in the view of both staff and the commission, we don't think it will be. What we have found as we've gone through the work in reviewing this project, and I know that Chris Lannert, on behalf of the applicant, has looked in some detail into parking.
Was there a parking study done on this? Or?
Well, there was quite a bit of work done looking at parking demand at different times in the immediate vicinity of this site, and I know that that Chris has quite a bit of data that he's put together on it. But what I think the commission basically, the finding that they made was that with respect to the lunchtime traffic, it's felt that there is a lot of multi-purpose trips associated with lunchtime activity in the downtown. So if you're coming into the downtown and you're having lunch, you're probably making your way to other shops in the immediate area. Also, with the advent of the parking deck being built for commuters, we had a situation on Second Street where some commuters were almost by default, if they couldn't find parking in our surface parking lots, were parking on Second Street. And the one thing that we noticed as we were looking at the site at different times prior to the hearing is that Second Street parking has really freed up for business use, particularly the west side of the street. And so you've got 10 spaces right there that would be pretty much available almost at any time.
Those are three-hour spaces, if I remember.
Correct, exactly. And commuters would be parking there and accepting the ticket, basically, by going to that location. And there are several other locations like that that have been positively affected for retail parking availability because commuters are not jumping into those spaces for lack of another option because of the additional spaces provided at the deck. So we think that there's really a combination of factors that lead to a conclusion here that parking will not be an issue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Pollack. I do have a question, maybe several. With the outdoor dining, would we be making any provision for music? I don't know if there would be a loudspeaker or some sort of...
No, that's a good question. I'm not aware of anything specific. Maybe Mr. Lanner could
comment. There maybe was an intent maybe somewhere down the line, if I remember correctly, in the packet that said maybe after a year it might be revisited or looked at. So I was just wondering if anybody would make a provision or make sure that there was that factor taken into account?
Well, if it's a matter of controlling that type of activity, if there's a concern, it could certainly be stipulated that music wouldn't be allowed.
Well, I'm sure it would be fine. It's just, you know, getting out of hand, I think, is what I would you know, kind of just guard against.
We do have noise provisions that are performance standards in our zoning ordinance that we can fall back on. Those represent decibel levels and involve some noise measurements. So I think we have some baseline protections in place with regard to that. But I also know that music sometimes can be a factor, and I know we've experienced it out on Randall Road.
Right.
It's been a nuisance.
Right. So that's what brought me to that.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know anything specific about
Alderman Maladra mentioned that he thought that Dotson had has music outside too, so I don't know. And if it seems to be controlled there, I'm sure.
It hasn't been a problem that's been brought to our attention in community development.
I just wanted to make sure that there was some provision or some, you know, make sure that there was some guideline that they could follow at least.
We do have some provisions that we could enforce if it became a problem.
You never mentioned anything about staff parking, and I don't know exactly how many staff members would be part of the kitchen crew and the waitresses.
Staff parking is part of the whole parking consideration, and so we were looking at that in relation to the total parking demand situation.
And you felt that that was adequate?
Yes.
Okay. And I did note that in February, to take a reading, I guess, I agreed with your comment at the Planning Commission that, you know, to have the study done in warmer months.
Yeah, well, we kind of took that into consideration here because obviously this time of year leading up to this time, you know, in the early spring, late winter, the peak parking demand is never going to be realized, and certainly we've all seen times when the, you know, abutting areas there on 3rd and Fulton have been fully maxed out with respect to parking. So there certainly are going to be times when parking spaces right abutting to the property are not going to be available. And it's our belief from a staff perspective, having kind of looked at parking repeatedly with each case that we review in the downtown area, we still don't have a real defined parking problem. There are issues of local availability in front of individual businesses or groups of businesses, but the times that we're maxed out with respect to parking downtown are primarily during the festival weeks and that type of thing. And the expectation should be that with an active restaurant use on this property, that if you're going to dine at that restaurant, finding a space right in front of that place of business should not be an expectation, because you're really entering a broader business environment that's very active in that part of the downtown, and people should expect to walk a couple or a few blocks to find a parking space. And we believe that parking during the one kind of pinch time, which would be the lunchtime period, would be available in other locations within at least several blocks of this location.
And it seems like in the evenings you'll have no problem.
Absolutely not. And weekends will not be a problem as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. Dick, I didn't see any mention regarding a liquor license. Is that something that's going to take place once this issue is...
It's a separate process, and an application has to be filed, you know, with the administrator's office, and the liquor commissioner reviews that.
And that is something that would be expected?
Well, that's required.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Alderman Decoto?
No, I'm glad to hear that we saw in Geneva, unfortunately, with the economy being what it is, we saw the parking problem. I doubt it, but I'm sure the restaurant will say, gee, our business is on because we just can't find any parking. But Alderman Brown would be glad to hear that we don't have a parking problem. So am I. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Are there anybody in the audience that has a question? Sir, would you like to join us at the podium and state your name and address?
garage.
Stick around.
Hello, Mr. Devine.
Good evening. Mr. Devine, 921 Wood Avenue, Geneva, Illinois. It's a pleasure to be here. I was wondering, Mr. Unch, if you could give us a yes or no answer on the traffic study. You said there was a lot of data, but I didn't hear a yes or no. Was there a study or wasn't there?
There was a traffic analysis submitted by the petitioner. Actually, a parking analysis. You use the term traffic. It's
well, that was the question. No, the question was...
A traffic analysis. There was no traffic analysis.
Okay. The actual question was there a traffic study?
There was not a traffic study done.
Okay, the answer is no.
No.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Let's see. And a follow-up on the question in regards to staff parking. Is there parking on the property for the staff, or will the staff be parking on the street, such as a commuter?
Okay, just a commuter driving a vehicle to the...
Well, we said that we didn't want commuters parking in some of these spots because of the three-hour limitation. So what I would like to know is if we hire staff from outside the city of Geneva, where are they going to park? Are they going to park in a spot that maybe a commuter would park in? In other words, what I would call a public spot, or does this property have off-street parking for the staff?
If someone was commuting from outside the community to work at this place of business, they're going to park wherever they can legally find a place to park. There are seven spaces on the property, and there are public parking spaces on the public streets in the vicinity of the site, and there's the parking deck.
So there's seven off
on street or on
property spaces.
Correct.
And any employees, owners that can't get into the seven spots are then, as we shall say, similar to the rest of us, whether we're commuters or citizens, they have to find on-street parking.
Public parking, correct.
Public parking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Wanted a clarification.
Sure.
Alderman Decoto, did you have your hand up? No? Okay. Anybody else? We have a motion and a second. I believe a roll call will be necessary. Since I forgot to do the roll call at the beginning of the meeting, I figured we might as well get it in now. Go ahead, Gene.
William Barkley?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The mayor was to arrive late this evening, and it's my pleasure to introduce Mayor Burns, who has arrived. So I'd like to turn the chair over to him.
Hey, get in there.
Take your food with you.
It's for you. I thought of you.
Who made it? Olberg? Is that Olberg? Is that his name? Mr. Pollack said you look like Martha Stewart on steroids.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. My apologies, folks, for running late. Strategic running late. Any new business? If not, the meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Hey.
Item 4D.
Sadie.
Right. Item D. Consider draft ordinance. Well, that's not. Yes. Authorizing rezoning from B2 to R3 for property commonly known as 114 Wall Street in the city of Geneva.
Second.
Motion by Dakota, seconded by Brown. Questions or comments? See how easy this is, Ray?
Way bigger deal out of it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item E, consider a request from Geneva History Center to allow planting boxes in the public right-of-way at 113 South 3rd Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Hill. Questions or comments from Mr. Olberg? These are planting boxes, not burial plots. Is that correct?
Mr. Mayor?
thought it was interesting.
Oh, Mrs. Slakovich is fielding the questions? Okay. I don't, the way you're dressed, I don't blame you, man. So let's see. Mr. Pollack has a question.
Thank you. Margaret, we're going to refer to these as Victory Gardens planting boxes?
Well, they're called earth boxes. The garden itself is going to be in conjunction
with the space is going to be called Geneva History Center Victory Garden in conjunction with the Faces of War exhibit, but the boxes themselves are called earth boxes, and they will not be in the ground, and there's three of them, and the dimensions were given, that information was given. I mean, I can go over that if you'd like me to.
No.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dakota?
Is this a one-time event? I mean, as far as this season, for example, or is this going to be repeated year to year?
No, this is a one-time event, and in conjunction with the exhibit, the Garden Club is willing to donate the boxes, so they will be available to for us to use again, or if they would like to use them. I did mention in there, I always have to make a plug that, you know, a lot of people have talked about community gardens and victory gardens, and even though this is a temporary issue right here for this summer, I hope that the city at some point in time will take a closer look at supporting a space for a community garden, because I think there's a lot of talk out there about it. So that's my little plug for the community garden, but I'm really plugging for the earth boxes for the History Center tonight. So
thank you.
I just want to make a comment. I thought you did a very ingenious job of trying to put together that Victory Garden, because I know that you were struggling or looking for a spot, and I thought, how ingenious.
Well, thanks. The difficult part of it will be that I'll be moving it morning and afternoon every day. So anybody that wants to volunteer, please let me know.
Anything else for Margaret?
I think it's a picture somewhere.
Thank you, Margaret.
There's a moment. Oh, sorry, Mayor.
Yeah, there is a... So go ahead, Ray. I'll split the pay with you.
Yeah, right.
Looks like you can use the tie, so what the hell? Okay, I swore on TV. I apologize.
Way to go.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of supporting the Victory Gardens, as it were, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item F is to consider a contract with Caterpillar Power Generation Systems in the amount of $163,420 for the 2009 operations and maintenance of the Geneva Generation Facility.
So moved.
I heard Brown kick it off, and I heard Hill come in a close second. Was that Barkley? Excuse me? You guys look alike, man. Questions or comments for Mr. Buffington, who's with us tonight? Oh, there he is, in the back. Alderman Flanagan.
Just have a quick question, Mr. Buffington. I noticed that the contract has euros. Is that just because of the fact that it's an international contract and we're not going to be trading in euros or anything like that?
Would you repeat that again?
Oh, there's a euro rate indicator or paragraph, and I'm assuming that it's just because of the international factor and they just didn't take it out, right? We're not going to be trading in euros.
We're not. Yes and no. The contract is with Germany.
Uh-huh.
Caterpillar part of Germany. And whatever the euro is doing, the end value.
Okay, so we will have some sort of influence of euro dollars.
Yes.
Oh, didn't know that. Thank you.
Which brings the second question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
The amount we're approving tonight, does that fluctuate with the exchange rate?
Thank you.
I believe I built enough in there that it won't fluctuate with the exchange rate.
Thank you.
Anyone else for Mr. Singer, then Mr. Dakota?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is something that we have continually progressed over the years that we've been in operation.
We've done it for 3 years now, yes.
Yes. Is there going to be a time when finally we will be able to have someone on staff to be able to maintain the system? I mean, are we expected to look forward to each and every year a cost of $160,000 to operate this system?
It is our anticipation until something changes and the system runs more than the 94 hours to 250 hours it does a year, it will not be profitable or economical to have somebody on the staff to run it.
Well, that's disappointing. But I guess that's not what we can do about that, is there?
Not right at the moment.
Not at this point in time. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Dakota.
Well, you've kind of answered my question, because I had the same question. Because when we bought this, I won't say, what is it, a pig in a poke? A generator plant. It was glorious. There was all sorts of benefits to it, and I think we've reaped some of them. I don't deny that, really. But the long-term prospect is that this price will probably go up from year to year. Are we not ever going to be in a position? Well, you've answered that question. The answer is no. We will never be in a position to run this equipment and maintain it and run it efficiently. That was never the original premise when we approved the plant, but be that as may, that's in the past. I guess the only prospect will be the price will go up on a benefit basis. What would be, speculate on your part, with your knowledge, what would be what is the benefit of hiring these people to do this as opposed to our running the plant itself?
It would require, for us to run the plant, it would require at least four people to man the plant 24 hours a day.
We have run the plant in the past.
Yes, we have.
Right.
Yes, we have. And we do run it on the off months to keep it running for maintenance purposes.
Okay.
But during the period in which we hire these people, if it's down during the peak hours,
I understand that part of it.
The loss is extreme. The training of having, with the union contract, I would have to train every employee. That's an impossibility.
And that's again with the union people.
Yes.
We cannot run this plant with other people, other than union people.
We are running it with other than union people by doing this contract. But if,
what I'm saying. So the answer is no. We cannot run this plant currently because we don't know, we don't have the people that are not tied to the union contract.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Maladra.
A few meetings ago, we did a report on the finances of the GGF, and it, because of the generation facility, we earned like $60,000 profit this year or something like that. Do you remember that?
We're averaging, it's not a profit, the savings with this contract is averaging about $2 million a year.
$2 million a year, and that includes factoring in the cost of having Caterpillar.
That includes the cost of Caterpillar and the bond payments and interest.
Okay. So I think that to question the wisdom of the generation facility based on the need to have somebody maintain those powerful engines is kind of off topic a little bit. We have to keep those engines running so that we can continue to save $2 million a year.
That is right.
Anyone else for Mr. Buffington? We have a motion by Barkley and a second by Mr. Hill. Mr. Devine?
Yes.
You have to join us at the podium.
I was already up there.
I know, but believe me, that's why I wasn't here. I heard you were coming, so I thought, oh, wait. Again, for those watching from home, a joke.
Just a follow-up to the question on Euro. I didn't bring my glasses tonight, air on me, but this looks like $163,420. Is that supposed to be euros or is that dollars?
That is in dollars at a euro-to-dollar rate of...
That was going to be my follow-up question. What's the euro exchange rate that you were using as a factor?
Can I give it to you after we sit down, or do you want?
Well, you don't have to give it to me. I think you need to give it to the to the city council.
It's in our packet. Yeah, it's in our packet. So.
Okay.
It's online.
Because we're not really paying $163,420. We're taking that times the exchange rate.
Only if the exchange rate changes from the set rate that we have right now.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The 1 year was what, a 0.34 U.S.
Anyone else in the audience? Anyone from the dais? If not, Mr. Barkley has offered the motion and Mr. Hill has seconded. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say nay. Item 3G is to consider bid award with BG Concrete Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $75,000 for the 2009 citywide concrete sidewalk and curb and gutter project.
So moved.
Second.
Brown motions and Flanagan seconds. Alderman Dakota.
Yes, I guess the only concern I have on this is that, and I've seen this in other situations where we've received a very competitive bid and we've saved money compared to what we had budgeted, and we quickly turn around and say, hey, now that we've saved all this money, how can we spend it? And I assume originally the work that was decided that we had a certain amount of concrete work that needed to be done was what we had planned to do, and we have received a favorable bid. I would suggest that we might seriously consider putting that money away for next year. Who knows what's going to happen between now and next year? The remaining concrete work will probably, I assume, would if the price had come in at the amount that we approved, that we would have lived without doing this additional work. Now, question of wisdom, I guess. We don't know what the future will hold, and we might necessarily might want to spend that money on MRF next year, which is speculated to go up 10% for the next foreseeable future or something. So that's the only thing I would suggest, really. Can we live without this additional concrete work?
The way we've structured this contract, if you look in the engineer's estimate, we assumed that there would be about $60,000 was our estimate. That's what we know as far as concrete that needs repaired. We've got a budget of $75,000. So between today and the end of the construction season, it's very typical that we get phone calls, requests to do concrete that is needs to be replaced that we just don't know about right now. So that's why there's that little bit of buffer between our estimate and the budget. We did get very good prices, so now we've got a much bigger buffer to work with, but still what we can do is either start going into another area of town. Every year for the past 7 years, I think it was, we've targeted a specific neighborhood, and then we do overall citywide requests. We can start moving forward. This year it's focusing more on the Geneva East area that we know about, that we went and inspected. We can move to another area that we've got programmed for next year ahead of time and get that done earlier and inspect it this summer and get some of that done with this year's budget to stay ahead of the curve.
Next year's budget will go down.
Well, at some point, that I can't say for sure it will be next year, but at some point we'll be where we'll have gone through the entire city. At that point, we can start to say maybe we don't need $75,000 every year. Maybe we only need 60 or 50, and then once we've caught up, yeah, you're right. We could possibly lower that budget amount.
Thank you.
Anyone else for Mr. Elias? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Record show that the vote was 9-1. Item H is to consider bid award with Communications Direct in the amount of $23,233.54 for FCC mandated pagers and base station equipment for the fire department.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Barkley, seconded by Piper. And we have with us the distinguished Deputy Chief, Jerry Koster. Any questions for Jay Koster?
Hi.
Now, it's my understanding, Deputy Chief, these are iPhones. But did I misread the
Blackberries, I believe?
What are you laughing about, Elias? You only got a few days left here for guys.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
May I ask you a question?
He wants an iPhone.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Jerry, have we dealt with this Communications Direct at other issues, other instances that we
yes,
feel
actually,
comfortable with these people?
Very much so. We've used Communications Direct. We've actually had dealings with all of these companies and also with Communications Direct as far as providing maintenance for our existing equipment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm trying to look this up. Is this the one where we sent out 10 packages, roughly?
I cannot answer the question as how many packages we're sending.
How many responses did we get? Two?
Three.
Three. All right. There was one in there that I was questioning why we only got two responses back. We sent out 10 packages. I'll get to it in a minute. That's all right. Thank you.
Anyone else for Deputy Chief Koster? We have a motion by Barkley, a second by Piper to approve item H. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Thank you, Deputy Chief. Item I is consider a grant of easements with Pepper Valley Units 2 and 3 for cable replacement program.
So moved. Second.
Flanagan motions and Vogelsberg seconded, huh?
Shake it up a little.
I'm telling you guys are like the two. No mind. Questions or comments for anybody? Mr. Singer, then Mr. Piper.
Thank you.
Flanagan.
Okay. I see in the executive summary that you received 17 of 25 easements signed by the residents. What happens if we aren't able to get the remainder of those easements? I see there's one problem already where the easement wasn't granted for the street light location. But what do we do on those issues?
Well, right now, we're anticipating not putting the light up or moving the light.
Oh, moving the light over?
That's correct, if we can get an easement.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that would be for that issue. Now, what about the other easements that have not yet been extended?
We're just going to work on them a little harder.
I see. Okay.
To make them
that sounds
can.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Piper has waived his right to speak. He actually waived this. I don't need to speak, so it's good. Alderman Flanagan.
Actually, Alderman Singer asked my question.
Ah, okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else for Mr. Buffington? Mr. Brown?
Yeah, simple question. Why were these easements not obtained back when Pepper Valley was first platted?
That was just something that was, it was something I assumed was overlooked. There was easements for storm drains, but not for street light wire.
We won't make the mistake in the future, will we?
We're working off hard not to.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Mike. Item J is consider bid award with Intren Incorporated in the amount of $1,151,384.70 for the replacement of underground cable in Pepper Valley Planned Development Units 2 and 3.
So moved.
Second.
Flanagan motions and Brown seconds. Questions for Mr. Buff. Mr. Dakota.
This is the contract that I was thinking of here that... I'm not too sure how this reads. Many bid packages were sent out through email. 10 prospective bidding companies attended a pre-bid meeting. Then 2 bids were received. Can you tell me why in today's atmosphere where supposedly business is hard to get, we get such a poor return?
We really don't have an answer for you on that.
Okay. At least we got competitive bids.
Yes, we did.
It's taken a long time. It took me 20 years to get this done. Not quite successful yet, but I'm getting there. I need a couple more meetings, I think. But be that as it may, I won't have that luxury. But it's, I was surprised that we only got 2 bids, really.
So were we.
Can you think of any reason why? Is it our process is too complex, or are we putting too many bells and whistles on them? It seems to me that should be something we might look at, really, to see if we can improve our competitiveness, you might say.
We'll look at it.
Thank you.
Anyone else for Mr. Buffington? We have a motion by Flanagan and a second by Mr. Brown. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Let the record show that Alderman Vogelsberg was not present during the voting.
Here she is.
Here she is. Oh. Item K, consider intergovernmental agreement with certain taxing bodies regarding review, monitoring, contesting, and defending assessed valuation of real property located in the city of Geneva, Illinois.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Barclay. Questions or comments? Mr. Pollack, Mr. Dakota.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, are there many instances where someone is appealing their EAV by greater than 20% or $200,000 or routinely comes up?
The number seems to be escalating. We're seeing it more often. The particular appeal that I saw that prompted this was 20% of the assessed valuation of a larger valuation. So I know that this city has partnered with the school district in the past, but I don't believe that we've ever had an intergovernmental agreement, so I contacted the school district and our city attorney and assistant city administrator attended the meetings, and the other governing bodies, including the Park District and Library District, were very eager to join in the effort and share the cost. So we anticipate, because of the economy, that we will see more and more of these, and so we wanted to be a step ahead, so to speak, to be prepared.
And the cost that we spend, does that go toward legal counsel or?
Yes. Yeah. Primarily, yes.
And then who will represent us? Do we know that yet?
The school district attorney would be representing all of the parties involved. Our city attorney, obviously, would be communicating, but the school district attorney will represent the parties, those four governmental entities. And just to let you know that we would be paying a proportionate share depending on who participates in the protest of the appeal. We typically, if all four parties were to participate, our proportionate share of a normal tax bill is about 8 to 9%. So if all of the parties were to participate, that would be our proportionate share. All of those parties on the tax bill will not be participating, but the four major ones will be. So we will pick up our proportionate share of whomever participates.
And then just two more brief questions. Who's the school district attorney? If you don't know, that's fine.
I can't remember his name, and I don't want to mispronounce it. Whittier?
If you can just shoot us an email. And then what about Geneva Township? Are they a part of this at all?
Yeah, they are.
They're not.
They're not?
They have not responded that they would be participating in this to date.
They just haven't responded, or they responded they won't participate?
They have not responded that they would be participating.
Gotcha.
At this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Dakota, Mr. Piper?
You've pretty much answered my question. The only question I have in addition is, are we going to end up with four attorneys in a case? Do we need four attorneys? Or
no, the school district will be the, their attorney will be representing any entities that participate. And as each appeal goes through and we're notified of that, then we will make a determination whether or not we participate. And if we do participate, the school district's attorney would be representing all the participants.
Thanks. Mr. Piper.
Mary, is this for, I guess what sticks out in my head, is this for the situations like Erdays and the ice, things that have come up like the ice rink in the last few years where assessed values have gone from, their taxes have gone from so low to so extremely high?
Well, it's for any properties, really.
Okay, but that's the type of situation we're talking about.
Well, we're looking at the larger, at this point, I guess the example would be larger commercial along Randall and industrial.
Okay.
Those are the ones that have the higher EAVs that, you know, when they're looking at appealing 20% or more of the EAV, that's going to affect the taxing bodies.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Singer.
Thank you. I'm not sure I understand. I do understand the issue here and what is happening, but if if we do not become part of the appeal process and the appeal is then successful, are we then going to be, will we benefit from that? Do you understand my reasoning?
If the EAV is not, if the assessed valuation is not lowered, the end result, yes, we would benefit. All taxing bodies would benefit, so to speak. I mean, from our perspective, we would benefit because we would be maintaining that taxing level.
Doesn't that seem somewhat unfair if one of these entities doesn't become part of the process and in the end run, they will benefit from not being part of the process?
It's more beneficial the more governmental agencies that participate, but you also have to look at the rate. The example that we're speaking of has a very small proportional share when you look at those that are participating.
I see.
In the 1% area.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? We have a motion by the two B's, Brown and Barclay. All in favor of the motion as offered under item K, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3L, consider draft resolution adopting amendments to the City of Geneva Personnel Policy Manual. Dakota motions and Hill seconds. Questions or comments regarding all employees must cheer for Chicago sports teams? That's a very solid amendment there.
I don't remember putting that in there.
No, you don't remember putting it? It's because you're a Royals fan. No questions? Alderman Flanagan.
I'm just getting to that page, though.
Okay.
It's page 180. And I can't remember why I have it noted. I'm sure it's nothing. It just may be a question of some sort. I just need an explanation about employees are not permitted to... Wait, maybe that's not it. Just disregard it. If I find it and locate it, I can always call Mary up and ask her the question. Okay. It was just Stephanie, a question, not a... I think it was just very minor, so... Thank you.
You're welcome.
I find it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor indicate by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Our last item, item M, consider draft resolution adopting City of Geneva computer usage policy.
So moved.
I believe that is Barclay and Dakota. Questions or comments? None? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Well done. New business. Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, any new business tonight?
I think Dorothy had requested some time on the new business.
I'm not in the audience, though.
Yeah. Jeez, you get 5 minutes in the big chair. Look at the way you behave, for God's sake.
Just trying to be accommodating here.
This is not about accommodation. I have one bit, but I'll defer to the good alderman.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I have a big bit.
Oh. You have a big bit?
A big bit.
Well, then let's get rid of my little bit.
Okay.
Although I shouldn't say a little bit because it's significant. All of us received an email last week regarding the loss of one of our fine employees who is leaving their employ at the City of Geneva to go on to, I'm not going to say greener pastures, but certainly extraordinary opportunity. Mr. Jason Elias, the city engineer, is stepping down. When's your final day, Mr. Elias?
May 8th.
And you are going to become the, I hope I have this right, Director of Public Works in the beautiful town of Lisle.
Right.
Isn't that wild?
Lisle?
Lisle, Illinois. Isn't that amazing?
There's a nice golf course near there.
And you live out that way, correct?
Where is that?
It's out that way, Jason. Work with me.
Where?
How long?
Lisle is up near.
Where's Lisle? That's somewhere beyond West Chicago, I think.
East of
right down 38, man. Well, that's very exciting, Jason. Congratulations. Congratulations.
By Peoria.
Alderman Flanagan.
Okay. I've got to get up to do this.
Woo!
all day.
Paul?
Yes?
Would you like to step off the dais?
No.
You can say it. You can say it.
You know, if you're going to give me money, you don't have to put it in a bag, a big bag like that.
I hope you bring
it. $5,000 bills, you know.
Okay. Well, I hate to make it feel sad, but there's not $1,000 bills in here, so.
Well, there are larger notes and things. Okay, go ahead.
But I just wanted to present this to you on behalf of the Geneva Beautification Group and myself, and I also wanted to say a few words. I want to thank you very much for the challenges you've given me over the years. I know there have been unconventional ways of challenging me, but I'm sure you wanted me to grow and to wanted me to see different points of view, and I do appreciate that. Well, I'll get to that. I also wanted to thank you very much for being part of our group for 20 years. I thought that was a big step. Are you looking at me?
Yeah, but I'm not retiring from certification.
Well, no, I know you're not. I know you're not. But you're retiring from here, and those are things that, I mean, over the years, you've talked about the needs and the wants, and hopefully you've given me the ability to see what a need or the difference between a need and a want was. You're usually very stingy with the city's money.
Please, conservative.
Oh, stingy with the city's money. But I know for a fact that you're very generous, and you brought up lunch. Yes, you have on occasion purchased lunch.
That's why you've grown so much.
That's right. Thanks. The unconventional Paul, as you would say. Don't make this more difficult for me.
Right. Say thanks, Paul.
But anyway,
thanks, Paul.
And I know that what you say and how you say it is what you really mean, no matter whether it's right or wrong, but that's what you do. So please, open this up for us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Roger.
And then I want to give you something else, too.
I'll make a comment. All right.
What are these?
Papers. Okay. Now, when I go in here, I can pull these up, and I have to put in certain keywords.
Very good.
This is your new uniform.
Very good. Oh, that's a fancy.
Come up.
Look at that. Geneva Beautification.
Oh, cool.
His new outfit. Oh. He has to wear this around town, and he's doing gardening. And he's got the bees.
Oh.
Bad. What side is the logo on?
Thank you.
Very
Very applicable.
And I'd like to present this book. It was dedicated to you. It will remain in the library, of course. And it says, if I can open it up.
Which book is it?
Wait a minute, I'll tell you. In honor of Paul Dakota for 20 years of service with the Geneva City Council, 1989 to 2009. And it is titled, From Community to Superpower.
Colony.
What did I say?
Colony. Right.
From Colony to Superpower.
Oh,
so
thank you.
You could read this, but you have to take it back to the library.
Well, I usually do. I'm late, but I pay a fine.
No, don't be late.
Am I exempt from a fine if I
don't know. I'm not part of the library board. You have to discuss it. And I know you do so well in discussing things with the library.
Yes. At times I've had to hire a lawyer to solve my problem, but, you know, it works.
Okay.
It worked that time anyway.
And Bill,
what was that about the library?
I don't want to. I know that 8 years is not as long as Paul has been on the city council. But if you'd like to come over here, or I can bring it to you.
It's just a little token of our
thanking you very much for cleaning up, being our part of our cleanup crew.
Thank you.
It's a little gesture.
Thank you very much.
Wish you well. And thank you very much also for personally giving me the ability of thinking second, making me think second for interrupting anybody, because I know sometimes I've interrupted you.
I apologize.
But you've taught me to do not to, to wait in this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren, this has been checked out in the library. Is it your time? Has been checked out on your card?
Not
that
on
I can
my card.
Have it as long as I want, because you'll have to pay the same fine.
Not on my card.
Well, whoever's card it is. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
Dorothy, that was very nice. That was very nice.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Brown?
Alderman Flanagan, who usually forgets nothing, forgot that Alderman Barkley also served 8 years on the library board and had a run-in with Paul, no doubt, during that 8 years.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
So that almost equals the 20 years of Alderman Dakota. Thank you, Mr. Barkley.
Thank you. I was going to mention it, but I didn't want to interrupt it.
Indeed. And it should be noted that next Monday evening will be the final city council meeting of this city council. And obviously that we will seat the new city council. And those who are returning to service are encouraged to invite their family and friends to participate in the swearing-in ceremony. So we'll have photographers who are specialized in airbrushing. So please join us. Anyone else? Otherwise, I'll recognize Ms. McKittrick. Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to remind everybody that with Metro West, I'll be headed to Springfield tomorrow and Wednesday to meet with our legislators and agency heads to discuss municipal issues with them. Our top four priorities that we'll be taking is requesting that if there is an income tax increase, that municipalities would receive the same proportionate share that we now receive, which is not on the table. That we look to regional water conservation as going forward, that we encourage them to pass a capital bill, and that we stand in opposition to the continued proliferation of municipal employee benefits. So these will be the issues that will be our top priorities that we will be discussing with them going forward, and I will let you know how it turns out.
Thank you. And just one other thing. Stephanie just has some bit of news she'd like to share regarding our friends at SPAC.
I just wanted to make an announcement that on this Thursday, April 30th at 7 p.m. at the History Center, SPAC will be recognizing all of their subcommittee members. So if any of you are serving on a subcommittee or have served, please join us Thursday at 7.
Anyone else? Ellen DeVita.
If any members of our business community are watching, I want to remind them that tomorrow at 8 a.m. in this room, Officer Eddie Jackson will be hosting a crime prevention meeting. Okay?
Thank you.
And then we are going to be at the Rolling Down the River trade show on Wednesday with the city booth again, if any of the aldermen wish to join us. It's a pheasant run between noon to 6, and it'll be well staffed by city staff, but if you'd like to join us, it's a fun time. Okay?
Thank you, Ellen. There's nothing else. I'll entertain a motion from the good alderman, Paul Dakota.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Dakota, seconded by Singer. All in favor of adjourning, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.